Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the wild things. Spanish moss is neither Spanish nor a moss. It's a flowering plant, found draped from trees in sunny, humid areas from the southeastern United States to Chile. Its distribution includes lands that were originally Spanish colonies. Spanish moss is related to lilies and pineapples, but it and many of its relatives grow as epiphytes. An epiphyte is a plant that lives on the surface of another plant but does not parasitize that plant. Spanish moss just sort of hangs around, soaking up the sunshine, moisture from the air, and perhaps water-soluble nutrients found on tree surfaces. The gray-green color of Spanish moss comes from tiny gray scales that cover the plant. These trap moisture and nutrients. Spanish moss is most common on oaks and bald cypress, trees with horizontal branches that provide sites from which the moss can hang, and that also grow in more humid environments and have bark that holds moisture and nutrients the Spanish moss needs. While it can also be found on pines, pines often grow in drier sites, have fewer nutrients on their bark, and also produce chemicals that may inhibit Spanish moss growth. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Spanish moss is a flowering plant, but don't expect a riot of color or an abundance of blooms from Spanish moss. Each Spanish moss plant produces a single, inconspicuous, tubular, green to pale purple and yellow flower each year, usually during the warmer months. The flowers give off a pleasant fragrance at night to attract nocturnal insects to pollinate them. Following pollination, 10 to 20 tiny seeds are produced and released in midwinter, sailing off in the wind on tiny barbed, hair-like parachutes when the seed capsule splits open. Take a close look at some Spanish moss, and you can usually find some of the purplish-brown opened seed capsules. They'll look like three dried, long, narrow flower petals. If a seed strikes another limb or tree, the barbs help it hang on to begin life. When the seed germinates, the tiny Spanish moss plant sends out a root that helps it hang on and gather water and nutrients. But the root is short-lived, and the tiny gray scales on leaves take over the job of gathering nutrients for the plant. As the tiny plant grows, it branches, and the base dies, leaving the tangled mass of curled and somewhat coiled leaves just hanging in the sun, free to be blown to another tree. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Can Spanish moss hurt a tree? The answer is not a simple one. Spanish moss is an epiphyte, a plant that uses another plant only as a way to reach the sun it needs to grow. Spanish moss produces its own food through photosynthesis, just as other green plants do. It collects water from dew and rain and minerals and other nutrients from dust and water that run off the tree surfaces. So it doesn't hurt a tree by being a parasite. But if Spanish moss is really abundant on a tree, it can be a problem. When dry, Spanish moss is very light, but with a drenching rain, it can really soak up water, increasing its weight by as much as 10 times, sufficient to crack limbs. But usually it's only dead limbs that fall as a result of the weight. An abundance of Spanish moss on a tree can also shade the tree's own leaves, reducing their ability to produce sugars through photosynthesis. But this, too, is usually not a serious problem. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. The masses of Spanish moss that drape many southern trees provide shelter for an incredible abundance of other life. The northern Perula and the yellow-throated warbler, two of Florida's nesting warblers, commonly make their nests in Spanish moss. The orchard oriole sometimes weaves Spanish moss into its nest, And Carolina chickadees and prothonotary warblers also find it a good nest lining. The Seminole bat often finds a roosting site in clumps of Spanish moss by day, emerging to capture flying insects at dusk. Southern flying squirrels often gather Spanish moss to line their nests. Spanish moss is eaten by some insects, and more than 60 kinds of insects, mites, and spiders are known to find refuge in its wispy strands. At least one tiny brown and yellow spider seems to make its home only in Spanish moss, feeding on many of the creatures that seek refuge there. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. As soft as Spanish moss is, it's no wonder that humans have used it to satisfy a diversity of needs. Some Native Americans wore it at times as clothing. It has often been used as stuffing for pillows and chairs, and at one time, processed Spanish moss was gathered and baled for commercial use. Henry Ford is said to have used it in stuffing the seats for his Model T Fords. In the 19th century, Spanish moss was exported to Europe for use in stuffing mattresses. Lesser quality moss was often sold as mulch. In Louisiana and some other areas, it has been mixed with mud to make adobe-like bricks for building construction. Today, Spanish moss is sometimes used as a packing material, but its most frequent use today is as decoration for its beauty and its use in crafts. Spanish moss has sometimes been baled and used as food for livestock, especially horses. Deer and turkeys also eat it, but its nutritive value is considered low. While not considered a human food, a tea made from Spanish moss was once believed to be good for a diversity of ailments. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.